3 days to the presidential and parliamentary elections. This is Joy News Today. I am MFA Akosia Adeti. The news is also live on DSTV channel 421 and GoTV channel 125. Top stories this hour. Kodeo worried about incidents of vote buying in Monday's special voting. Ask police to swiftly investigate and punish culprits.
We have security personnel who were involved photographing their ballots so that they could go and collect money. This is very serious. This is quite alarming, you know.
Meanwhile, founding member of the governing New Patriotic Party called for the arrest of Ayawaso West MP and for her subsequent withdrawal from the parliamentary race for alleged vote buying. And on the campaign trail, John Mahama expresses disappointment over the NPP's inability to complete key projects in the Ashanti region. Details as he promises the Ashantihene that the future NDC government will complete these projects and initiate new ones. We've got these plus business, sports and showbiz in this package. Please stay for details.
Election Headquarters is brought to you by Petrosol Platinum Energy, Energizing Dreams, Chopbox Technology, a convenient service, German Ozone Medical Center, Alternative Therapy, Dental, Wellness and Beauty, the Chartered Institute of Management Accountants, CIMA, and the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants, AICPA, together as the Association of International Certified Professional Accountants, Youth Bridge Foundation, Bridging the Gaps for Positive Youth Development, Syntex Tanks, Aya Strong, Aya Tough, Potential Real Estate, your trusted partner in real estate, Deluxe Paint, Paint Mu Champion.
Of course, we are your election headquarters and do stay with us for the most authentic election news. Now, first on election news today, the Coalition of Domestic Election Observers say it is worried about incidents of vote buying and photographing of ballots cast during the special voting on Monday. Kodeo wants the Ghana Police Service to swiftly deal with these issues to curb a recurrence during Saturday's polls. Now, senior research analyst Rhoda Osei Afol spoke earlier on News Desk.
In two things, already we look at the positive side and we look at the other issues that sort of mask the beauty of the protest. So if you're looking at the special voting exercise itself, realize that it was generally smooth. Materials were available, people were able to vote on time, processing of voters went quite smoothly. And then we had all these incidents about people taking photographs of their ballots so that they can go and collect money because they have been promised to go and do that and come for money. And then we have instances where people are being monies are being doled out to individuals after they cast their ballots. These are really worrying because we are looking at a process that should be fair, that should be free, and that should be credible. So if you are looking at the integrity of elections, then we cannot just gloss over these incidents, however isolated they may be, right? Because now, if you are looking at, say, these consequences in these different regions and the incidents that happened, now, this is special voting. If you are looking at the people who were involved, in some of the reports that we had security personnel who were involved photographing their ballots so that they could go and collect money. This is very serious. This is quite alarming, you know. What are they going to do when they see others do that? Because these are people who are voting today or they were voting on Monday so that they can go and police the process. So it's very worrying that we are seeing some of the things that we've seen. Material inducement is something that we cannot condone because of all the implications that it has, even for campaign financing, for competitive elections, and for a free and fair process.
We'll bring you more details on this particular story later in the bulletin. But it's just 3 days to the presidential and parliamentary elections. And with campaigns still to end on Thursday, we want to take a trip across the country to gauge the mood. Some of our correspondents have been providing these details.
The Techiman South constituency, as we all know, if people remember in 2020, there were some, you know, shootings here that, you know, led to the death of some too. This time around, the parties are assuring us on the security agencies are equally assuring us that enough preparations.
I must say that the people of the Western region are really ready for this election. You know, we didn't vote for the special voting on Monday, and so we are preparing, the region is preparing for the special voting on Thursday, which is tomorrow, and then on 7th December on Saturday.
The mood in what people are really expecting at the polls on Saturday, and so the political parties are busy preparing, trying to put a last minute status to whatever they want to do on Saturday. And so all political parties are in the region are in pensive mood, expecting on what will happen on Saturday. And then from all sides, or from all indications, all sides are saying that they will claim to victory on Saturday, December 7th.
There you have it. Ghana is very ready for the December polls. Now, NDC presidential candidate John Mahama has expressed disappointment over the inability of the governing New Patriotic Party to complete key and crucial projects like the Afari Military Hospital Phase 2 of the KJTIA Market and many others in the Ashanti region after almost 8 years in office. Speaking during a courtesy call on the 24th to the 2nd, John Mahama promised the Asantehene a future NDC government will complete the unfinished project and start new ones. Maxwell Agbagba has more in this report.
John Mahama, during his visit to the Major Palace, criticized the governing New Patriotic Party for taking the Ashanti region for granted, suggesting the party relies on the region's support despite limited developmental progress under the MPP. He assured residents that if the NDC is elected into power, it will complete unfinished projects and initiate new ones. He said, "The last time I came here, I mentioned our projects in the Ashanti region. These were critical projects that enhanced the region's development. Some were completed, while others were not. The sad part is that some of those we could not finish have been abandoned for 8 years and are now rotting away. For instance, look at the Afari Military Hospital. If you consider the stage of that facility before we left power, you wouldn't expect it to remain unfinished after 8 years. Before we left government, we inaugurated the KJTIA Market. Together, we sourced funding and sent it to Parliament for the second phase of the project. 8 years later, it is hard to understand why it remains incomplete." The Santino Tumfosi to encourage John Mahama to tell the people about his achievement and what he plans to do if he is re-elected. He stated that elections are won at polling stations, where the summation of ballots determines the winner. He said, "We are all pleading for free and fair elections. All parties have agreed to have their agents present. Elections happen at the polling station where the ballot papers are cast. The summation of the ballot papers determines whether you will become president or MP. When we all agree to this process, there will be no disagreements. We pray for him, and may God grant all his heart's desires." John Mahama subsequently toured 7 constituencies in the Ashanti region, reiterating his campaign message. He also called for investigations into the circumstances surrounding the distribution of food by Afri Western Ogun MP Yasin Hassan during a special voting exercise. Additionally, he cautioned voters against taking pictures of their ballots, reminding them of the importance of preserving electoral integrity.
The vice presidential candidate for the New Force, Dr. Mariam Isaka Krista, is optimistic about winning the 2024 presidential elections. She's confident in their plan to industrialize all 16 regions of Ghana, dubbed the 12 pillars of economic freedom. In this interview, Dr. Krista said she hopes Ghanaians will break away from the duopoly in Ghana.
I don't know if you have seen our document, the 12 pillars of economic freedom. If you look at that document, nobody will tell you that this is work that is based on a lot of research. If you pick up the document, you see that we have really put in the time, the effort to go around the country to identify the resources that we have, to find out what the challenges, the problems of the people are, and then try to find out how we can solve those problems. You know, some of the places like the north, I never knew that we had iron ore deposits in the north. And the fact that we could actually make a steel industry out of these iron ore deposits to serve the whole of the country. You know, so this is really a well thought out document, well researched. And so we have put in the time, we've put in the effort, and I think that we have what it takes to address some of these challenges.
Well, I think that we are going to win. So I'm not thinking of any plan B for us. So far, I think the youth have bought into our message, and they understand that it is time for change and the power is in their hands. So for me, there is nothing like we, the new force, not winning.
Well, let's take you back to that story on the call for the investigation in the incident that happened in the Ayawaso West Wogon. Now, the Office of the Special Prosecutor has launched a comprehensive investigation into allegations of misconduct involving contestants in the Ayawaso West Wogon parliamentary elections. Now, Joy News sources found out that the front runner, the incumbent NPP MP Lida Lasan, and the NDC parliamentary candidate John Dumelo are being investigated for various infractions they allegedly committed during the voting. Elton Broby joins me with more on that. Elton, thank you for joining us. But what more are we learning? And what exactly is Lida Lasan being asked to come to the Office of the Special Prosecutor for?
Right, so MFA Joy News understands that the Office of the Special Prosecutor has engaged with Lydia Al-Hassan, who is also the Member of Parliament for Ayawaso West Wogon here in the Greater Accra Region, as part of ongoing investigation. Now, sources indicate that she was asked some few questions, though it remains unclear whether this interaction constitutes an official arrest or invitation. Now, reports suggest that the OSP is closely monitoring her activities. Typically, the OSP says that what they do is that they gather substantial evidence before proceeding with formal arrests and charges. And so in the coming hours, they will update, the country on what steps they are taking regarding these matters.
It's quite surprising that the NDC's John Dumelo is also a person of interest. Why so?
What we also learned again from the Office of the Special Prosecutor is that John Dumelo was allegedly, according to their observers, observed by officers of the OSP, interacting with voters who were in the queue during the special voting exercise. According to the OSP, such actions could contravene electoral laws, and that has prompted further investigation into the matter. The OSP, according to information we are learning, is that it is reviewing the incident to determine whether any legal breaches occurred regarding John Dumelo. For now, he's a person of interest.
Well, we've got only 3 days to the elections. Are we certain that the Office of the Special Prosecutor will do anything at all?
Well, we are learning, and they chose their words carefully. They say that they are taking a measured approach and will not take immediate action regarding allegations of electoral misconduct until after the general election because of the potential that it may have positively or negatively for the contestants in the Saturday's parliamentary election, especially at the Ayawaso West Wogon constituents.
But the OSP... Please go on.
Yes, MFH. Yes, but the OSP says that they may revisit these issues and take appropriate steps post the elections. A similar case they've cited is that of the Kwadaso MP in the Ashanti region, who was seen giving money in the envelope during the Ayawaso parliamentary by-election. They say that they've concluded their investigations. They have he's been charged and will be held before court immediately after the elections.
Well, so there are some security personnel also being probed?
Indeed. If you go to the Codeo report that was released, they make reference to some voters that took money here in the Greater Accra region, also at Keta in the Bota region. Some people attempted to bribe those who were going through voting process during the special voting. The OSP says that the observers have also reported similar cases, and they see this as a broad... something very significant because of the nature of people involved. And for that reason, they've launched a special investigation into the conduct of some security personnel that have been captured receiving or attempting to give money during the special voting. And that investigation is also ongoing.
Thank you, Elton. Now, still on this story, the founding member of the New Patriotic Party, Dr. Nyaho Samaklo, has called for the arrest and prosecution of Member of Parliament for Ayawaso West Wogan, Lydia Alassan, for sharing food security officials who were in line to cast their vote on Monday. He's also asking the governing party, New Patriotic Party, to revoke her candidature. Now, let's take a listen. But before that, let's talk to my colleague, Kenneth JC, who joins us with more from that news conference. Kenneth, I know that Professor Frimpong has been speaking, but what did he say particularly?
Yes, Professor Frimpong was saying together with Dr. Nyaho Nyaho Samaklo and then Brigadier General Lulu Mensah. They've all been sharing the same sentiment as to the incident that happened at Ayawaso West Wogan. They say that they have been alive long enough to know that politicians usually give out items and money to in an effort to induce voters. But now it appears that politicians have been emboldened that they do it in the full glare of the public, and that is quite worrying. They've also expressed worry because two of them have military background. They've expressed worry about the security agencies, saying that the security agencies are supposed to be enforcing laws, but if they are the ones that are receiving the food, how sure can we be that on election day, they can prevent politicians from giving money, food, and other items to voters in line?
All right, Kenneth, thank you so much. So my colleague Kenneth and Elton bringing us details on what happened on Monday's special voting particularly. But let's continue. Wife of NPP presidential candidate Samira Baumia is urging voters to reject violence and intimidation on Saturday, December 7, as Guineans go to the polls to elect a presidential president and parliamentary parliamentarians. Speaking at the Ashanti Women for Peace Conference in Kumasi, Mrs. Baumia urged voters to exercise their franchise peacefully and avoid any instance of violence in the voting process. She's been speaking with my colleague Nana Bwachi Yadom.
The Ashanti Women for Peace Conference was held to encourage women to lead in the advocacy against electoral violence. The conference was to also encourage women participation in the election. Speaking to Joy News on the sideline of the event, wife of the Vice President Samira Baumia emphasized the need to ensure a peaceful election.
Why do you think that we need peace in this election?
Well, it's obvious. Peace. To have development, you need peace. And we've seen the tensions around, we've heard some of the rhetoric, which is very unfortunate. But we need to continue as leaders to encourage our people to be peaceful. Elections are not about conflict, they're about making a choice. And a choice should be a peaceful choice. And inshallah, victory will be for the New Patriotic Party. But we need to vote in peace.
Is Dr. Mahmoud Baumia winning the elections?
Absolutely.
Thank you very much.
Mrs. Baumia, who led the New Patriotic Party's delegation to the conference, advised that voters turn their faces against violent activities. The Ashanti Women for Peace group is on a week-long campaign preaching dialogue between political parties before and after the elections. For Joy News, Nana Bwachi Dankwe Yadom, Kumasi.
Nana Bwachi Yadom joins us with more. Nana, who else spoke at this event and what did they say?
Well, MFA, this event was supposed to be one that would have the second lady or the wife of the vice president, Dr. Mahmoud Baumia, and also the wife of the former president, John Dramani Mahama, Mrs. Lordina Mahama, attending. But unfortunately, Mrs. Lordina Mahama did not attend the event. And so Hajia Samira Baumia was the one who spoke and addressed the crowd during this event in the Ashanti region. The organizers of the Ashanti Women for Peace conference or seminar in the Ashanti region, we're saying that it's very much important for us to preach peace in the December 7 election. Saturday, which is so close to us, and the election for president and the parliamentarians are very, very much crucial, and that women should be the advocates for peace. Citing several instances in previous elections that I have in electoral violence, and they said that this particular election must be devoid of these violence or chaos, and that women in particular must stand in to advocate for peace.
Well, Nana, so the former First Lady was not represented at all?
There was no representation from the former First Lady, Mrs. Lordina Mahama. It was the Second Lady, Samira Baumia, and some regional executives from the National Patriotic Party who came in to give out their message of peace to the women who came in to listen to their messages.
Nana, would you say that the MPP's wrapped its campaign, everything it needs to do in the Ashanti region, as tomorrow will be their rally, 5th December, would you say that they're done completely?
Well, MFA, they are not done completely. When the vice president wrapped up his entire 47 constituency tour in the Ashanti region, totally on Sunday, he realized that it was here on Sunday, and he said that we spoke to his aide, Anthony Abefakabo, who told us that the vice president would be in the region again this week before the election. So we are expecting the vice president to be here after the final rally tomorrow. And so for Friday and then in between Friday or tomorrow to Friday, we're expecting the vice president to be here before the polls on Saturday. And even before that, the vice presidential candidate, Dr. Martin Fokupempe, is on the campaign trail in the Ashanti region, Hadi Atemira Bawumia, before the Ashanti Women for Peace Conference, was in the Kumasi KGTR market. You can see that all the machinery, a government machinery, are in the Ashanti region as I speak to you. Most of them are planning on leaving today, right after some engagement that will be done this morning. For example, the vice presidential candidate, Dr. Matthew Fokupempe, who is supposed to be at the Doom for a meet and greet engagement, he will be leaving right after that meet and greet engagement to Accra to participate in the party's final rally. And so they are not done entirely. Friday is also going to be a very busy day for the MPP in the Ashanti region. The information that we are taking is that right after the final rally, all of them will be moving into the Ashanti region to make sure that the aim to secure 85% votes in the region is successful.
Thank you so much, Nana Bwache Adam. Now, a group calling itself the Ashanti Heritage Front, affiliated to the New Patriotic Party, has warned that it will resist any attempt to disturb the electoral process in the Ashanti region on Saturday. Leader of the group, former MP for Mensah North, Colin Samankwa, says he will not allow any individual or group to disrupt the peaceful conduct of the election in the region, which is considered a stronghold of the NPP.
We also know that they are recruiting former military and policemen, as well as other tasks on voting day to cause confusion in the Ashanti region and to intimidate voters from coming out to vote in their numbers on December 7th. We are also aware of plans to use Alfred Mahama, biological brother of the former president John Dramani Mahama, Richard Jackpa, and Hobson Adoye to carry out evil machinations in Ashanti region. Ladies and gentlemen of the press, we in the NPP are still committed to clean campaign, and it is clear that our flag bearer, Dr. Mamudu Bawumia, including all our parliamentary candidates, have carried out issue-based campaigns throughout the country. We therefore, winning the upcoming elections on our strength, our work, and the issues we've raised in our campaign, our message to the electorate has been superior, clear, unambiguous, and we are winning majority in parliament and retaining the presidency, Isha Allah, on December 7th.
Election Headquarters is brought to you by Petrosol Platinum Energy, Energizing Dreams, Chopbox Technology, a convenient service, German Ozone Medical Center, Alternative Therapy, Dental, Wellness and Beauty, the Chartered Institute of Management Accountants, CIMA, and the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants, AICPA, together as the Association of International Certified Professional Accountants. Youth Bridge Foundation, bridging the gap for positive youth development. Syntex Tanks, Aya Strong, Aya Tough, Potential Real Estate, your trusted partner in real estate. Deluxe Paint, Paint Mu Champion.
Away from elections, persons seeking Gazette publication services, including change of name, date of birth, and appointment of marriage, officer will not have to join long queue to access these services as the Ghana Publishing Company moves Gazette services 100% online. The company says it will minimize human interaction, curb corruption, and increase revenue for the company. Prince Kwame Kuduga is at the ceremony where this e-Gazette service is being launched and has details. Kwame Kuduga, please give us an update.
Okay, so MFA, the Ghana Publishing Company's Gazette services include change of name, Gazette for change of date of birth, registration of Gazette for marriages, and also Gazette for chiefs and queens. Now, starting from this moment onwards, all those services, those who are seeking for those services, will not have to join any queue to get the services because they are being moved online. All you have to do is to log on to the website of the Ghana Publishing Services, make your payment or do your application, make your payment, and pick a date to come and pick your certificate at the Ghana Publishing Company. You don't have to join any queue. The CEO of the company says that this will eliminate human interaction, eliminate corruption, and then increase the company's revenue. He says that they are very sure that this new online policy will make their services available to their customers, and also they stress the customers have to go to. You know, somebody have to travel all the way from Tamale to the headquarters here to access those services. Moving forward, all those stresses have been removed, and people just have to go online on your mobile phone, wherever you are. Those services, you have to register your marriage, you have to gazette your church, you have to gazette your new queen or king. You don't have to come to the Ghana Publishing Company to get that done. You can just log on to their website, make your payment, your application is done, pick a date, and you just come and pick it here, MFA.
That's good to know. Now, Prince, did you meet some persons who were there today hoping to transact business in person and having to know that it's been moved 100% online?
So, MFA, as usual, when we got to this place, we saw people coming for different services, some coming for publication of change of name, some coming for maybe publication of marriage certificate, some coming for maybe publication for chiefs and queens. But hearing the good news that starting from today, they don't have to come all the way here from wherever they are in the country. They just have to log on to the website on their phones, and those services that they are coming all the way here for will be done on the phone. They express their happiness. They say that this is the best news that they can hear for today because the stress of traveling, traffic, making a payment and all those things have been removed for them.
Okay.
It's a good news for the matter of joy.
Prince, quickly before I let you go, and this will not disrupt those who have started the process in any way. For example, if you started manually, could you complete it online?
No, MFA, so the good news is that it is for new applicants. So your application starts online.
Okay.
So you do your application online, and then you pick a date to come and you make payment online. You pick a date to come and pick your certificate. Those who have started already, you go through the manual process. Of course, you've done majority of the process already. All you have to do is that you go through the manual process. Then subsequently, if you have to do any other thing, maybe change of name, change of date of birth, or maybe you are a new queen or a king that you need to be published, you can go through the online system, MFA.
Thank you so much, Prince Kuduga. Now, moving on, Minister of Health, Dr. Okoboy, has reaffirmed his ministry's commitment to ensuring good healthcare delivery in the country. The statement was captured at the launch of the Strategic Health Infrastructure Plan. There's more in the following report.
To improve access to essential health services and achieve universal health coverage despite limited financial resources, the government of Ghana has prioritized the economic stability of the health system and the strengthening of primary health care. These priorities require collective action to succeed. In line with this, the Ministry of Health has launched the Agenda 111 project, officially known as Ghana's Priority Health Infrastructure Projects. Speaking at the launch of the ministry's five-year strategic plan, Dr. Angela Akong, on behalf of the WHO country representative, highlighted the need for the health sector to adopt and adapt to disruptive technologies.
As we reflect on the past few years, we have faced unprecedented challenges in our healthcare system. The COVID-19 pandemic exposed vulnerabilities, highlighted disparities, and underscored the urgent need for robust, adaptable, and equitable health infrastructure. Mr. Chairman, ladies and gentlemen, in an era where healthcare systems face increasing pressure from rising patient needs and the escalating impact of climate change, the intersection of quality, healthcare, health outcomes, and space considerations has become more critical than ever.
Dr. Akon further emphasized that staying updated and transforming the system is crucial to meeting international best practices.
Universal health coverage is grounded in the principle that appropriate infrastructure is essential. Health facilities that are well maintained, properly furnished, and offer local populations a sense of security, encourage people to seek medical care with confidence. However, in many countries, the infrastructure supporting healthcare remains minimal or substandard. By investing in healthcare infrastructure today, we can reform systems and create a foundation for sustainable healthcare delivery.
The Ghana Health Service has identified a lack of staff accommodation as a major challenge affecting healthcare delivery in rural areas. Health Minister Bernard Okoboy reaffirmed the government's nationwide commitment to expanding healthcare services.
Agenda 101 is one of the clearest examples of how harmonizing projects can create equity and ensure universal health coverage. We are building over 80 district hospitals, same design across the country.
To successfully meet Sustainable Development Goal 3, Ghana must provide universal health coverage for all.
Well, after 9 weeks of fierce and rigorous competition in the kitchen, Joy Prime has finally closed the curtains on season 2 of Ghana's favorite reality TV show, Big Chef Tertiary. The grand finale held in Kumasi saw all 4 schools battle it out in 3 rounds of challenging tasks for winning the title. Whole Technical University emerged a winner, sweeping this title twice in a row. There's more in this report.
The 4 remaining schools, Kumasi, Ho, Takrade and Koforidua, entered the kitchen ready to battle it out against each other for the ultimate prize. The first round saw all 4 teams ballot for sour, sweet, spicy and savory starters. 15 minutes into the cooking, a twist was introduced, heightening the tension in the kitchen.
Team 1, you are switching with team 2. Team 2, you are team 3, you are switching with team 4. It's that way, brother. Let's get to it. You have 10 more minutes to finish up with this task.
All 4 teams were able to impress the judges with their starters, scoring them high points. Halfway into the second round, judges introduced another twist to challenge the contestants. The judges gave snails to each team to incorporate into their main meals.
This is a live snail that you will need to incorporate into the dish that you're making. Let's give each team the snail to work with.
It was a gloomy atmosphere in the kitchen as teams Koforidua and Takrade said their final goodbyes, ending them the second and third runner-up positions.
Again, but it's not because you've come very far. I will see you right after we're done with the last task. And so, Koforidua, you can go back, sit in the audience and enjoy what's going to happen. Takrade Technical University, you've done well, but you'll also have to go back and see what the others will do. Thank you so much for coming.
Strongman, other musicians and special guests graced the events to show their support to the finalists. Kumasi and Ho proceeded to the final round. This time, pastry connoisseur and judge Kobe Brown made desserts and tasked them to recreate them within 20 minutes.
What are we making?
Okay, so we are making a whipped ganache with a tuo biscuit and a dakwa cake. Pastry is very complicated and very technical, so you need to really pay attention to every step. If you miss one step, everything is going to mess up.
A few people from the audience tasted the desserts and gave their scores. After the judges tasted the desserts and collated all the marks, Ho emerged the winner of the competition for the second time, taking away 20,000 Ghana cedis, bragging rights, and prizes from sponsors.
For the second time, Ho Technical University wins as Big Chef.
Kumasi also emerged as second runner-up, again taking home 10,000 Ghana cedis and amazing prizes from sponsors.
Well, a big congratulations once again to Ho Technical University. I was hoping my alma mater would win at Tekradi Technical University, but we'll learn to cook better next time. But you're watching Joy News today. Please stay for business.
Pius Kojobaka. Government is confident that the completion of the third review of the International Monetary Fund program will accelerate economic growth. Minister of Finance Dr. Mohamed Amin Adam says that improved macroeconomic indicators signifies a robust economy. Speaking at the monthly economic press briefing, the minister explained that the country's growth trajectory is almost at pre-COVID-19 pandemic levels.
After successfully reaching staff level agreement with the IMF on the third review on 4th October 2024, the IMF Executive Board yesterday overwhelmingly approved the third review of program implementation, given the strong performance Ghana exhibited towards program objectives and targets. The assessment of Ghana's performance by the fund shows that we've met all the 6 and June 2024 quantitative performance criteria and all 4 and June 2024 indicative targets. It is instructive to note that this is the first time Ghana has met all the indicative targets in a review. We've witnessed a strong and continued rebound in economic activity, with real GDP growth accelerating to 6.9% in quarter two of 2024. After 4.7% growth in quarter one of the year, and up from 3.8% in quarter four in 2023, last year. This was driven largely by robust performance in the industrial, the agricultural, and the ICT sectors.
Zonda Technologies Ghana Limited, a heavy-duty truck retailer, has partnered the National Road Safety Authority to deepen road safety awareness among drivers in Kumasi. The training is aimed at addressing the many errors drivers commit on and off the road, drivers' rights, and the work of the police, motor traffic, and transport departments.
Responsible driving, a tool for accident-free Christmas. Speaking at the workshop, Kwesi Ejeni Mbwating, Ashanti Regional Director of the National Road Safety Authority, asserted the essence of such programs in a time when road accidents are skyrocketing.
Basically, in Ashanti region, we are recording a lot of speeding issues. So we want to have a lot of reduction in speed. If we're able to reduce our speed and also abide by basic road safety regulations, we'll be able to have a crash-free incidents on our highways.
Human Resource Manager for Zonda Tech Ghana Limited, Daniel Nsebua Amwa, highlighted the purpose of embarking on such social corporate responsibility.
Zonda Tech Ghana Limited, we believe in placing safety first, so our Managing Director, Madam Yang Yan, has made it a good thing to make sure that safety will be a thing that is very important in the Ghanaian society. So at Zonda Tech, we want to train a lot of drivers. We started this initiative in the year 2020, and for now we've trained over 5,000 drivers from Tema and Kumasi together. And so we want to make sure that as we are selling our heavy-duty vehicles, our SUVs, our pickups to the Ghanaian market, we have to make sure that the drivers will also make sure their safety is very, very important. And this year it is responsible driving, a tool for an accident-free Christmas. So we believe that when all drivers drive responsibly on the road, we can reduce accidents on our roads.
One of the participants, Yao Eduse Puku, is excited at a learning opportunity.
Hey, good. It may be that. And any first time, but my best friend may be visit Ebeboa. Me can catch it, but now me name road science no. So I say, a road no straight now. You can say we overtake no. Now,
Tiama, Personnel from the Ghana National Fire Service, who also aided the training, warned the public to be vigilant with combustibles and aptly report of issues of fire outbreaks as the Harmattan approaches.
Drivers in particular, most especially, you see the fires occurring and you see them opening the bonnets of the car. What we normally advise is when fires occur as such, we don't open the bonnet. When you open the bonnet, you make sure you know where actually the fire is. Then when you have the extinguisher, you just use it to quench the fire. Or better still, you call fire service so that we come and then assist you.
Emmanuel Owusu MP's reports for Joy News.
That's all for business for now. I am Pius Kojo Bakadar. I'll be at 1 p.m. with the Marketplace. Sports is next.
Hello there, good afternoon, welcome to the Showbiz segment with me, Jacqueline Ansuma Yabua. What's our first story for today? It's election season in Ghana and the airwaves aren't just buzzing with campaign promises. They're blasting campaign bangers too. Many have looked forward to campaign songs from various parties. From Daddy Lumbe's Nana Winner to Nasi's Onapo, political parties have always known how to hit the right notes with voters. But here's a million CD question. Do campaign songs actually sway voters, or are they just catchy beats for rallies? We have more in the following report.
Over the years, music has become a major player in Ghana's political scene. Both the New Patriotic Party, NPP, and the National Democratic Congress, NDC, have relied heavily on songs to connect with the electorate. With time, the other parties have joined the fray. In the lead-up to the 2000 presidential elections, then-candidate John Ajekun Kufuor's Eshi Rado Rado set the stage for campaign bangers. His successor, Nana Akufo-Addo, followed up with Daddy Lumbe's Nana Winner, which became a staple for their campaigns even after losing the 2008 elections to NDC. Side, Maize Bell's JM Twasso energized Mahama's 2012 campaign. While Nasi's Onapo dominated the 2016 airwaves, adding a cultural punch to the NDC rallies. In 2020, Nasi came back with Okada, tapping into the party's promise to legalize motorcycle transport. Samini also produced Boyaka for President Akufo-Addo in 2020. Forward to 2024 and the hits keep coming. The NPP's anthem Samini's No Pressure oozes confidence in Baumia's bid. While Nasi's Kwen Kwen is stirring excitement for the NDC once again. Do these songs really matter?
Elections is just around the corner. And have you ever sat down to wonder whether the songs couched by musicians for political parties has ever influenced your decision to vote for them in any way? Well, you're right here in town to solicit for views from people and find out whether the songs that they've heard in the past has influenced their decision to vote for them. Join me as we ask them these questions.
To me personally, no, but I feel people sometimes vote for the politicians based on the song, like how nice the song is. And then sometimes to the person who sang the song, the artist.
You know, let me say, partisan, you know, and they don't really influence the national core that we want to see. People hire musicians to speak on their favor, and they come into power, and we see deep crisis in our country. And that's what I see now.
I can say some influence. Oh, okay. Some of them, they try to influence, yes. It's also part of their campaign. So.
It doesn't really influence my vote. It might influence people's vote if they love the artist. That can make them vote. But for me personally, it doesn't.
Those songs don't influence my decision.
At all?
At all, no. It doesn't influence my decision.
Political communication experts, however, think otherwise. Professor Ali Dusedu of the University of Ghana explains that campaign songs resonate strongly with the youth, shaping perceptions and mobilizing support.
What music can do is to energize the base of the campaign. So one of the functions of political parties is to mobilize and keep a support base. And it also provides an avenue for socialization within the political context. And one of the ways that you can socialize and energize the base is through campaigning and then providing songs that people can relate to. So basically, every campaign songs, campaign platform, songs are played. Yeah. And when the song speaks to the glory and the functions and the role and the significance or the praises of the flag bearer or the candidate, it gets the base energized. So one of the serious roles that campaign songs can play is to energize the base.
One thing is clear. Campaign songs are more than just tunes. They are tools. So as December 7 draws near, expect more music, more dance, and plenty of debates about the power of these election soundtracks. Ramat Bashiru and Jacqueline and Samaya Boy's report read to you.
Popular movie Par to powerful beat, Nigerian-American musician Rotimi is proving that he's more than just an actor. Known for blending smooth R&B with Afrobeats, Rotimi has carved out a unique space in the global music scene. But did you know he was once signed to 50 Cent's G-Unit label? Well, not for long. Rotimi recently opened up about why he left the iconic label. On that Rotimi note is a wrap for the Showbiz segments with me, Jacqueline, and Suma Yabor. Over to you, MFA. Thank you so much, Jackie. One of my favorite stories today is how you put together all the political songs. Do you have a favorite, though? Not really, but I mean, they're all a vibe, you know? The songs, they are all a vibe. I don't have a favorite, but they are all a vibe. All right, then. I'll tell you her favorite after. But that's it for today on the news with me, MFA Akosia Adeti. However, there's so much more news when you log on to myjoyonline.com. And today, you'd see that police detain 88 people on two Metro Mass buses allegedly recruited for election duties. There's so many more if you go to the option with the election on the portal. Thank you so much for watching.